Welcome to this series preview media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. Indiana baseball is 3-9 in Big Ten play and on a six-game losing streak. Head coach Jeff Mercer met with the media following practice on Thursday.
Coach, you've been having Braden Ricketts catch a lot more. I assume part of that is trying to kind of open up more spots in the lineup, especially for someone like Owen Tenhoover. So can you kind of just talk a little bit about his development as a catcher and trying to add some slug to the lineup?
Yeah, just trying to add length, especially Koski being out with the injury this week. So I started it last week versus Indiana State. I did a really good job. He's developed a ton from last year to this year, and that was kind of part of the plan in his overall growth. But his throwing's really improved a lot, and that was my question in real time. Was he going to be able to throw the ball accurately, strong enough to hold runners? And he did, throws a guy out at second base against Indiana State, back picks a guy against Evansville, blocked the ball well on turf, makes it a little bit easier. And he and I talked yesterday, receiving kind of that down and in pitch, Kellen and some of those sinkers, Jacoby, some of those guys, I thought he's gotten a lot better about that. And so, yeah, it does. Having him in that position at least once a week or maybe even twice a week would open up the DH spot for us. And then we've made some swing adjustments for him too. And so he needs to kind of go for us as well offensively. So it only makes sense if you're opening up the DH spot for a DH if now you have an offensive catcher and a DH. So both of those things kind of have to fall in place for us. But I like the returns the last 2 days on some swing change and rate for him.
What goes into your day-to-day game-by-game decision at third base between Mateo and Will?
A lot of it has to do with off attitude, demeanor. What kind of energy do you bring? Are you in the right frame of mind to be able to go out and participate at a high level? And, we can make there's two kinds of changes. There's the emotional change. There's emotional growth. Am I where I need to be at when I need to be there, right frame of mind? Then there's structural change. So my swing, the way I read the ball, the zones I cover. But I can't change my structural until I'm in the right place, mentally and emotionally. And so sometimes that has a lot to do with our growth. And so we have to be in the right frame of mind to be able to grow and develop and play with him. So that's typically what it has to do with it.
Expanding off of who's behind the plate, have you had any conversations with TJ on his offensive performance?
Yeah, a lot. He's a great kid. He had a wrist injury in the fall. So I think that probably stunted a lot of He was a productive offensive player last year, a lot kind of like Pete Cirito was a couple of years ago for us. And that was kind of what I had envisioned him being, never necessarily carry the offense, but to be an active participant. You can hit and run, you can sack bunt. And some of the hard part for TJ is the other guys haven't been in positions for him to do the things that he's good at. He didn't get sack bunt down the other day, but typically he's very good at sack bunts, slash, he can hit and run. But when he has to just hit, and now the other guys aren't putting him in a position to utilize his back barrel control skills. It just makes it a lot harder for him. It's one out, nobody on base. I have to go hit. And he's not been as offensive as he was last year. We played a tough schedule, so you kind of get double whammy of those things. We've tried a lot of different things for him. I think probably the best thing for him right now is to just, what I was trying to talk about in Nebraska was, it's now Nebraska, the wind was blowing from the right foot pole to the left foot pole really hard. So there's not really a hit in right field for him necessarily. It's like, hey, let's just be aggressive. Let's try to be dangerous. Let's be aggressive. I think sometimes when he gets too passive, he's such a good kid. He tries to do such a good job that he ends up pushing the ball foul. He hits a ton of balls hard, fouled in the right field line. Let's get the head out a little bit. Let's try to be more aggressive. Let's open up the big part of the field and see if we can be more productive that way. What's kind of the last couple of conversations we've had?
I guess how unique is a player like Aiden Krause with his ability to play defense the way he does at all three outfield spots, the stolen bases, and obviously sometimes the power, the bat to ball skills. How unique of a player is he kind of?
Yeah, he's got a great ability, a great skill set. Sometimes it's a little hit or miss in the way it impacts the game. His transition to right field, he's misread some balls in right field, then he's made some tremendous catches, just some. Really game-changing catches. I know he's more comfortable in center, but I've always liked having a left. If you're going to have a right-handed center fielder or right fielder, you put him in right and the left-handed guy in center. It covers your gaps better. But I think so. It's like I've seen him make some great plays, and I've seen him misread some balls, and he he's trying to get better at it. You know, offensively, I've seen him be dynamic, and I've seen him struggle with the kind of those similar situations. So it's just kind of trying to bottle him up and put him in the situations where you feel like he's going to be successful. But yeah, the skill is there. The ability is there. It's a hard transition. Wood bat, junior college, to this level of baseball every day is a big jump. And so you hit the ball on the barrel with the metal bat, it goes a little bit further. Sometimes those balls drop with the wood bat. And there's a lot of different things, the way I bump the ball. I bump the ball the same way with the metal bat and the wood bat. It goes a little farther. The bunt's not as successful. There is a transition to it. Metal bat, when you're in the outfield, the ball is a lot higher. It's a lot farther. It's super windy here as compared to where he's from. So there's just a lot of factors that go into it. For an older player, I understand. I keep that stuff in mind, and I'm not blind to it. But yeah, when he's going and he's good, like he was there for a couple weeks, it really changed the game for us. We beat UCF and played off against Notre Dame, had a couple of hits against North Carolina. And so he was kind of going there early. When he's like that, he's been really good.
Year over year. I mean, you kind of warned us about this up front, that slug was going to be a little down year over year.
Yeah.
It's down a lot over year. Do you think these guys have another level in them to be able to improve that?
You're exactly right. And you talked about it is, you know, I knew it was going to be just the way the draft has impacted us the last few years. It was, when you're on a high school cycle, at some point you're going to have to give it back to the high school guys. And you have to trust them to grow up. And just like we did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now, and trusted that freshman group, the next year we really blew up and made a run there. But this is just that year now. What I thought was, structurally, when I looked at the numbers, I thought we could, you know, score 5 to 7 runs and really stack it up on the mound and give up 3 to 4 runs and try to win 6 to 4. Play good defense, really pitch it. What's happened is you have a couple of those injuries, now you're giving up 5 to 6 runs, and then you're scoring 3 to 4 runs, and you're underwater consistently. You know, we've lost 6, 7, 8 one-run games, and every game's been tight. We're just underwater as far as offensively. And then it makes it really hard to figure out how to stack your on the mound. So, you know, in the years past, we'd open a game up, you're up 8-2, you go TBD, you go Friday game, TBD, TBD, and then whenever game you're in the lead, you stack your arms up, and then you fight it out on that third game if you have injuries, kind of like we've had. So that's where we've not opened games up offensively. So you're always in a position of trying to advance the game on the mound, and eventually you lose it late. Because you're not putting them away. I think offensively, we've been stunted by, kind of talk about it, it's like there's an emotional part of it. I get emotional, frustrated, I experience failure, those things that emotionally get in my way. But there's also structural things, and that's what we're trying to figure out right now is, we get guys on base. To your point is, we don't have instant offense, not a ton of instant offense. I think Ricketts is capable of having instant offense. He did it early and has struggled more late. We've done a complete overhaul of his swing. I think that will really help. Tanover, I think, is going to have a chance to really impact us. We had a deal where he couldn't start on Tuesday, got in there. I would say he'll be in there more often. We're kind of moving forward, and that would really help. I think Koski is going to be able to do that. He's shown more and more propensity to do that. And then you're looking at Jake and Hogan. So I think we're going to slug more. I think there's some swing changes in there we can do. But the big one is how do we handle the on-base situations, which we haven't been good enough at. So there's two ways. One is a guy jumps in the zone early, and we take it early, and then we try to settle into an at-bat, and then we get to a corner pitch. We've hit into so many double plays and weak outs with guys in scoring position by mishandling that. So I don't know that we're going to slug. I think there's more slug coming. But the big way for us to work our way out and to create more space for us is to hit the first one that's over the middle, not settle into an at-bat, and then cover the part of the plate that I can handle. We swing at. So if I handle the middle away pitch really well, we'll expand on the inside pitch and get jammed. If I handle the middle in pitch well, I'll swing on the outside pitch and I'll roll over it and not double play ball. So that's what we're working on today. Is we have to just keep having situations and put them in there over and over again. So that will help us to add and then have a better lane of length. But I do think that there's more slug coming. We just have to make the adjustments to get there.
When you talk about those early counts, because you've had a lot of looking strikeouts lately, is that part of that about trying to make that contact earlier in the at-bat?
Yes. So if I want to end the at-bat on my first swing, it's always the goal. because if I swing at the first pitch I swing at, it should be the best pitch that I get. And so I should, my first choice is the first one that I swing at. I should end the at bat there. So then I don't have to make that swing decision late. We have guys that become, we talk about this, become passive and perfectionist with two strikes. And so if you're going to give the guy the autonomy I'm okay with you walking, I'm okay with you advancing the at-bat into a full count territory, then you have to trust the guy to be competitive to strikes late. And there are times to a frustrating point is we become passive late. You walk before you hit. The best way to clear it up is I get a guy on base, the first one I hit is, or the first one that I get that's up over the middle that I hit, and I end the at-bat there, and then I'll have to advance it. I'm always having to make two strike decisions. And sometimes I get drilled. Sometimes the guy throws a backdoor slider. Some of the staffs that we faced recently are good. Minnesota staff was good. Nebraska staff obviously is very good. So you get some of those backdoor sliders that get you, or a guy drills a fastball in late and it locks you up. We've had more than our fair share of, non-competitive, middle-of-the-way fastballs looking for strike three. Well, if we end the at-bat early, we don't get in as many situations like that, and we do have better with two strikes.
Kind of a weird start to the season for Mostalski, but he slowly worked his way into a bigger role. How important is he for you guys right now?
Yeah, I've not had a guy get hit by a car. And I'm 2 weeks behind because I got hit by a car walking across the street. Thankfully, everything was fine. But he's been huge for us. He's been huge. For a freshman, lightly recruited, we liked him. Obviously, Coach Fisher, Andrian, the all-time winningest coach, most state championships, so you trust the program that he came from. I liked him pitchable in high school, but it wasn't a huge prospect by any stretch. But to see him walk in and, knock on wood, have a 2.5 and throw a bunch of innings and be a leverage guy for you, opener on the midweek, you look at where that looks, where that trends in the next 2 years, you got a real guy there. It's like, I call him the walking spin ball machine because it's four pitches and it's on time and it's uncomfortable and it's in and out, and he just does a really good job. But I thought, when you look at the first four innings of that Evansville game, you go Mostalski two, Javi Carrera was electric, 3-4 with a really good changeup, landed a slider, a couple strikeouts. And then English, he kind of did the freshman thing where he loses track of the pitch clock and we throw one to the backstop, and then he goes strikeout, single, pop up, whatever it was, but he gets out of it. He manages it, first four innings there with four of the first five are freshmen, and really, really good innings, really good stuff. You love where that group is going. It's been exciting to watch that for all three of them.
So what's the pitching plan for tomorrow?
We'll start with Newbeck. We'll go TBD on Saturday and then Thomas on Sunday.
Will he be on a limited pitch count because of the shorter rest?
I'm kind of by performance. Okay. If he's rolling, feels good, keep going. If he doesn't, then but not going into it necessarily.
Can you elaborate? You got hit by a car.
No, Mostalski did.
Okay.
Ivan did, sorry. No, I did not.
You look great for getting hit by a car 2 weeks ago.
No, right before the season started. It was like a week before the season started, he was walking across from the dorms and got,
That'll
happen on campus. Yeah, right. And so it was like, he was rolling. He was throwing great start the season or in the preseason. And then he texted me and said, I got hit by a car. I thought it was actually in a car. I think that would be logical. You would think that. And then I talked to our trainer, and he's like, no, he was actually walking, and he got hit and then rolled up on the hood. So then we went and got him, and he was fine, and he just obviously sore. But then his first outing here, he was gassed. And, just the shock of what's happened, and then you lose your cardiovascular. So I was telling Coach Myers, I was like, hey, he's going to run out of gas at like 15 pitches. And it was like 15 pitches. He was bright red, and we need to get him an inhaler. Like, he was just out of gas. He just lose it. So then since then, he's really worked his way back up, and now he's doing great. But, yeah, it was scary. We laugh about it now. The moment was not funny. I was scared to death. I was sitting there eating lunch, and so, he's doing fine now.
And with your young team, can you maybe elaborate on the excitement with playing at Wrigleyville in May? Is there a lot of locker room talk about
that? We haven't talked about it too much. I don't know if they know. It will be really exciting, when you get there either way. But, you're really fortunate. The Big Ten footprint is pretty incredible with a lot of the historic baseball cities. And obviously, there's not a Big Ten team in Cincinnati, but, Cincinnati, Columbus, Chicago, you get over, and obviously, in Illinois, you get over closer to Missouri. There's just a lot of really Milwaukee, a lot of really great baseball history in the region. So to get to go to Wrigley It'll be amazing. All those guys grew up watching the Cubs.
The Hoosiers welcome Rutgers to the bar at 6 p.m. Friday. The team has said all times this weekend are fluid with expected inclement weather in the Bloomington area. See you at the BART.